Broadcasting loud and proud from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is J.R. Williams, president of the League of World War I Aviation Historians. I would like to invite you to tune in next week for the third edition of League Week on Warbird Radio. Joining Matt will be League members Ted Hoosier, Mike O'Neill, Fred Murren, and Jim Streckless, who will be discussing a variety of topics on World War I aviation and the League. Please tune in for an exciting and informative week of programming on Warbird Radio Live.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
We're so close to the Pentagon. Sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Tuesday, September 27th, and I'm your host, Mike Chilson. We're glad you could join us tonight, whether you're listening live or listening via the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate your support, and this show's for you, so spread the word. Let all your friends know that they can go download the show or listen live and ask our guest questions. Tonight we have a real special guest, a personal friend of mine and a great friend of the show and one of the biggest proponents for RC Scale, in my opinion. I want to welcome to the show our good friend Graham Mears. Graham, welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Hello to everybody.
How's things been going since we talked to you last?
Well, very busy. As I said, I think last time that I'm retired some time, and I seem to have attracted projects to build for other customers. So I always have several things on the block, several things on the go at any one time.
Gotcha. Well, folks, tonight I kind of wanted to open the phone lines tonight because here's the deal. Graham, in my opinion, and most other people's opinion, is probably one of the best builders in on the planet. And this is a great opportunity for you to ask him a question that you may have, a building question, or his ideas about something. And we're going to pick his brain tonight. So by the end of the show, he'll be ready for a cocktail. That's our goal. So
sounds like fun.
Yeah, so let's see if we can do that tonight for him. If you'd like to join us, join in the conversation tonight, it's really simple. You can contact us several ways. You can give us a call at 478-787-4768, or you can, if you have Skype, you can simply Skype us at Warbird Radio. You can also email us your question at live@rcscalebuilder.com, and you can also join in the live chat on Warbird Radio simply by clicking on the Join Our Live Chat link right under the Listen Live button. So be sure and check that out. Well, let's get started, Graham. You know, for those that don't know you, this is really cool to hear you tell me this when we're in Toledo. But how did you get started in the hobby, and maybe how did you progress to the level that you are now as far as building?
Well, first of all, I was born at the very very early stages of World War II, and those were times that were pretty tough around the world. There wasn't a lot of money to go around, and I was born in New Zealand. And my father was a blue-collar worker. He was a civil servant. I can remember vividly visiting my hobby stores without a nickel in my pocket, but I would stand outside and fascinated with everything that was in the window. So from an early age, I was very fascinated with miniatures of any kind, and I was involved through my elementary school years and into my high school years in several aspects of hobbies. I had model train sets, for example. And then when I was a teenager, I got into U-Control. And there was no building, buying of kits. There wasn't, I never had the jingle money in my pocket to do that. So all I could afford to do was buy a strip of balsa and a tube of glue or something. So from a very early stage, I was really a scratch builder, building U-Control models, I guess, in my teens and flying them. It was a major thing to be able to afford a Cox 049 or something like that to hang on the front of it. So that was where I started. And I've been always fascinated with very accurate miniatures of anything, models of anything, my whole life. I've also had an avid interest in aviation. Where I grew up was on the side of a spot in New Zealand called Mount Victoria, which looked out over what became the Wellington International Airport. It started off as a small grass field called Rongotai Airport, and there was a factory at that airport that built Tiger Moths. So I used to see Tiger Moths flying out of there in their first maiden flights, and that's where my fascination in aviation started, and it's been a fascination my whole life. So those are kind of my roots.
Yeah. Well, you know, growing up in New Zealand, did you find that were there a lot of other modelers in that area of the world growing up?
Well, in those days, of course, I was just into U-Control. Mm-hmm. And most of my friends, well, there wasn't even a club. There were kids that were in my high school, and we would just meet and decide, well, you're going to go to such and such a park or over here or wherever. And a group of two or three or four or maybe more of you would get together on the weekend, and that's about the extent of it in those days.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that's it's kind of a fairly remote part of the world, but, and as a good friend of mine says, and I think you agreed with this with me once, you can't see the end of the world. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there, right?
Yeah, right. got that right.
That's
I think it's a little different now. There was a couple of guys came all the way to New Zealand this year for Top Gun. Mm-hmm. With some, a couple of very nice models. So it's not as far as it used to be. I mean, in my day, you really wouldn't, around the Second World War and just after, you certainly wouldn't fly from New Zealand to North America. It would generally be a trip you'd have to make in a ship. So it's sort of different times altogether.
Oh, yeah. The world's a lot smaller place now, isn't it?
It's correct, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your modeling now. Folks, once again, if you'd like to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. Let's see. You can email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com or Skype us at Warbird Radio. And, of course, you can also join in the live chat and ask your question there for sure. You know, Graham is a great resource. If you're stuck on something, he might be able to give you some insight on a direction to head in. But let's talk about your modeling a little bit, Graham. You know, the thing that strikes me about you that sets you apart from other people is that you know, you really replicate the full scale aircraft. You make a true miniature of the aircraft as opposed to just modeling the outside of it, so to speak. What kind of led you to, I mean, is that part of the modeling that you really enjoy?
Well, that, I guess, is what I've grown to receive the reputation for, is a very accurate miniature of the full scale.
Right.
And I got to say that I've had the luxury over the last few years of being able to have the access to the airplanes that I've been modeling, particularly the ones that I've competed with. And I've managed to get some pretty good static scores. But the secret to it is really, for me, is because I'm from a photographic or a motion picture background, I have skills as a photographer as well. I've met some very influential people, like a couple of generals that have gone through the Pentagon, have become personal friends of mine. So I've been able to get access to the United States Air Force aircraft and have exclusive documentation of them. Now, that's a luxury that not everybody can manage to get. So, but that's the secret in being able to replicate, come up with a perfect replica of a full-scale airplane. And in those occasions, I would also be thoughtful of getting the right documentation photos for the documentation book. To justify the accuracy of the airplane. So this is a luxury, really, that I've had. So what advice I can give is, if you want a really accurate airplane, you really have to model, I should say. You have to have access to the full scale. There's no other way that I know of doing that.
Right, right. And, you know, that's, I think, a mistake a lot of modelers make when they start getting into competition, is they'll start building the model, and then, you know, when it's time to finish, well, that's when they decide they want to pick a scheme or a particular aircraft. And quite frankly, that needs to be done before the construction even begins. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's where I started.
Yeah.
So I've had personal experience of that, and it's very difficult. I mean, all you can do, if that's your passion for a particular airplane, and you want to build the airplane, and then you think, well, I need a full scale to document, and before I do the detailing and the paint scheme. But it's a compromise, and I learned that early on. And all the airplanes that I've done over the last, I would say, 15 years or so, I've made sure that I've had access to them. I've got to know and meet the owners. When I did like Super Cubs and I did a Waco, and I made sure that I generally through the internet found out who the owners were, and made sure I could get they would allow me to get access and photograph the airplane.
Right, I got you. Yeah, that's some very good advice. Folks, once again, if you'd like to join in the conversation tonight, everybody's being mighty quiet. I guess they just want to hear what you have to say tonight, Graham. Give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio, or email your question to live@rcscalebuilder.com. And, you know, if nothing else, you can join us in the live chat on Warbird Radio. And, you know, we'd love to hear from you. This show's for you guys, and Graham's here to answer any questions. So if you got them, let's hear them. Graham, moving on to another topic here. So what are you working on right now? What projects are you working on that you can talk about that might be interesting to our listeners?
Well, I've got three major projects, and a minor project. I'm actually not really a scale airplane, but I'm painting a Jackknife, which is a sports airplane for a kit that comes from Jack Holland in Texas for a customer. But the three scale projects that I'm doing, first, I've been working on for some time, an L-39 from Skygate Collection out of Germany. There's been some issues with that because the company has just recently closed, and it appeared that they had some problems for several months, and I had trouble getting parts, but it is progressing slowly. Comp Arp have taken over the tooling, apparently, so there is hope that things like the cockpit details that I needed, I can get through that source eventually. Then I've just been finishing a T-33 in a Thunderbird scheme. The full-scale airplane is owned by Roy Halladay out of Colorado. He's apparently a friend of the folks at Warbirds Over the Rockies. And last year he flew the opening demo, I believe, at the event. A very pretty airplane that he has, all fully restored, and it had won some sort of award at Oshkosh back a number of years ago. So that is basically almost finished. And then the third scale project that I've been working on is a 40% GB, the Z model, which I drew the plans on CAD and had most of the kit parts cut, router cut in Florida. And so that's coming together. It's mainly framed up. The wings are framed up. So it's moving along as well.
Well, great. Well, looks like we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air. What's your question for Graham?
Hey, this is Mitchell down in Boone, North Carolina. And my question for Graham would be, what do you think the best way to put flush rivets on an airplane? I've read a little bit about the people using a brass tube sharpening. I'm just wondering what your view on that is.
Okay. I could give a seminar on this subject, but I did start off using brass tubing, and my first airplane at Top Gun back in '95 was a yellow aircraft P-38, and it was a model of one that had done service in Europe during World War II, and it needed to be not really pristine, like it was had done service. So I learned off Bob Fiorenzi the method of putting the flush hinges,
the flush rivets.
The flush rivets.
Yeah.
In with a brass tubing on an iron. And that looked very good to me, except it had a weathered look to it more than what I've been trying to achieve currently. So there was
right.
a genesis of my experience with getting flush rivets clean by, now I use a tool on the Dremel tool. It was also a genesis of starting with tubing and using the tubing in a Dremel tool. And then I found that I could make cutters out of tungsten carbide. And the trick was to have just a point. And
right.
with the rotation, high-speed rotation would cut a circle in the surface. So that's the current method I'm using.
Now, so is this a tool that you make and sell, or something you just have to make yourself?
Well, I started on making them out of piano wire of certain of different diameters, and it's mm-hmm. basically grinding off at an angle, so grinds to a tip. Like my best description of it is it looks like a fountain pen tip.
Right.
And with the rotation, it will cut a little circle in the surface.
Okay.
So I started with using piano wire, but the problem was I had to keep sharpening it, because even though I would harden the piano wire, it would eventually dull. And subsequently, I thought, well, I've got some tungsten carbide. I'll try grinding these tips out of tungsten carbide, and it's quite a chore because the tungsten carbide doesn't want to grind. But so now I have a bunch of these bits, I call them, in various diameters of tungsten carbide. I maybe have about six different sizes. So that's what I'm using, if it makes any sense to you.
Yeah, I'm a little lost on that, but I kind of understand what you're talking about. You're taking a fairly good size. It sounds like you're taking a fairly good size of piano wire. and kind of hollowing it out?
Yeah, well, I have them that make rivets from about 60 thou. I think, if I remember correctly, about 60 thou, I think 69 thou, 75 thou, and up to about 90 thou of diameter. Then if I get bigger than that, I need to use a piece of tubing.
A piece of tubing, okay.
Like if they're very large, like some deuce fasteners on a larger scale.
Okay, well, thanks for your call. Hope right. That was answered your question.
All righty. Well, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. So I'm just trying to understand this too, Graham. So basically what happens is you bring it to a point on one side of the outer diameter so it looks similar to a fountain pen, correct?
Yeah, right. Yeah. The sharper the tip is, the better.
Yeah, so as it turns around, that one point is making a circle, correct?
Yeah, and the people have trouble understanding because the natural thing is to think that it's going to shake the Dremel tool around the point, but that doesn't happen at all. It actually, at the right speed, it will cut a little circle. Now, you have to be very careful about the amount of pressure you use, I did start off by using a stencil with the little holes cut in it.
Okay.
But I've sort of progressed to the point now I can do it all freehand.
I got you. How many RPMs do you run your Dremel at? Do you remember?
Well, it's probably... You have to play with the speed.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful that your Dremel tool is very concentric, not eccentric.
Yeah.
Some of them, the drives are not totally centered.
Yeah.
And so they will cut a sort of a bigger or off-center or an elliptical shape rivet.
I got you. I'm going to try that.
It's a matter of experimenting with the speed.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. We had a couple of questions here for you in the chat. The first one... they didn't have their name, but the question was, should you apply filler over the airframe prior to fiberglassing or afterwards? Well, that's both, right?
say that again?
The question is, should you apply filler over the airframe prior to fiberglassing?
I guess they're asking if you've got a sheeted, balsa sheeted frame, should you apply? Well, I'm going to have to answer that way. If the question is that you've built the bulkheads, everything, you've sheeted it over, and you're going to glass it, should you do your filling before you glass it or after? I would definitely say after because, and it depends what filler you use. If you can use a filler like a soft filler that would sand like balsa would sand, then you could do the filling before. But if you're going to use a kind of like a light Bondo or epoxy type filler, I would say definitely use it after you've put the layer of glass on.
Yeah, good question. Another question we have, we're going to get an opinion from you here. Are you ready for this?
Sounds like fun.
What is your suggestion for the best kits to build?
Oh, my gosh. that's a huge question, but I don't know where to start with that. But for me, if you're a scale builder and you're intending to compete with an airplane, it is very, very difficult to find a kit where the outline is accurate. I don't know why that is. It surprises me that the kit manufacturers, a lot of them don't pay attention to detail. Some of the more accurate ones are Bob Violet kits are very good. But where I have done very well is with scale-jets.com. And now they don't have many airplanes. That's the problem. They have the F-16, which is never been able to be criticized in the outline at any competitions that I've been in. The outline is perfectly accurate. And now they have the T-33, which I found also was very accurate. So really, if you want to compete and you want to get a high score, you really need to check out how accurate the outlines of the kit is before you ever make the purchase. I believe some of the Zeroli kits seem to be very accurate. Some of those lines are pretty good, but that would be the key, is to check it out before you go and spend a lot of money and find that the outline is not accurate at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, I think it did. We have another one.
Of course, the ultimate is to be a scratch builder.
That's right. Design your own, right?
Yeah, right. Then you've got total control.
That's right. We have a question from Danny. He asks, what is Graham's opinion about using one servo for the elevator, or split it and use one servo for each half of the elevator? Which do you prefer, I guess?
Okay. What I would prefer is, particularly if the airplanes get bigger anyway, is one servo for each side, so two servos if you have two elevators. The reason being that as good as you can make the mechanical, you still have, with the new computer radios, you still have control about getting the throw very accurate in the center points on the computer system with two servos. If you only have one servo, then you're totally committed to having to have all the total geometry right.
That's okay, I got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
When I built the Corsair that I had at Top Gun, that Jason Shulman flew a couple of years ago, that actually for reasons of trying to overcome a tail weight heavy, I only used one servo and had to make all the mechanical geometry correct.
Gotcha.
But I used two push rods, and the elevators were independent from one servo.
But that was a challenge.
Yeah. Well, you've got to get everything right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you had more up and less down on the other side or whatever.
But I bet it would do a heck of a barrel roll that way. let's see. Got a couple other questions here for you. Helen Griffin in the chat asked, any words of wisdom for new guys starting in scale building?
You have to start. You have to work at it. Mm-hmm. For years and try and learn all the time. You know, I've been building scale models since I was a teenager, and this Christmas, after Christmas, I'll be 71 years old. So I've been at it for, how long is that, 55, 60 years. And every day I learn something.
Yeah.
What is a huge advantage now to model builders, scale model builders particularly, is the Internet. Google and some of these search engines are so strong now, you can put a sentence in and it will help you find something. I use it for sourcing materials. I use it for keeping current with all the development of the technologies. It's a marvelous tool that we've only had for the last 10 years. Imagine, you know, doing your research back 20 years ago when there was no Internet. It was a chore. You had to make photocopies of everything. Very, very difficult. You had to make telephone calls to find out whether, this place had this type of screw or whatever. But now it's all at your fingertips. So that's the way I've worked. I've just made sure that every day I learn something, and you can learn things off other people. even the most humble people, you can learn things off the way they do things.
Well, all that you could ever learn off of me is how to raise a beer up, you know.
I think you're. I think there's more to it than that.
I tell you what, I really.
Next time we have a beer, I'll watch how you raise your beer.
I tell you, I really enjoy having you on the show. You're a lot of fun, and I know the guys enjoy it. Couple of quick things before we wrap it up, Graham. I'll tell you what, why don't we take a commercial break and we'll come back and we got a couple more questions for you and then we'll call it a night. How about that?
Okay, perfect. I'll be here.
Okay. Well, folks, stick around. We'll be back in just a minute. Let's pay a few bills and then we'll get right back to our interview with Graham. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting loud and proud from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is J.R. Williams, president of the League of World War I Aviation Historians. I would like to invite you to tune in next week for the third edition of League Week on Warbird Radio. Joining Matt will be League members Ted Hoosier, Mike O'Neill, Fred Murren, and Jim Streckless, who will be discussing a variety of topics on World War I aviation and the League. Please tune in for an exciting and informative week of programming on Warbird Radio Live.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
We're so close to the Pentagon. Sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we're talking with world-class builder Graham Mears tonight. Graham, I really appreciate you coming on the show and answering people's questions. You know, the thing that I appreciate about you and most guys like you is that you want to share this information and, you know, keep the hobby alive. And I think you'd agree that's probably the most important contribution we can all make to it.
Oh, definitely. I have no secrets at all. Anyone can ask me questions about how I do anything. And if they can do it better, well, more, and be a competition, well, more power to them as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
I've said many times, I certainly don't want to take all that I've learned to my grave and not pass anything on to anybody else or anyone that's interested. So that's where I leave it.
Well, you know, maybe we need to start doing a segment called, Fireside Chats with Graham. What do you think? Well, you know, we can do the whole video thing. You know, you have production equipment there. We can handle it, man. You know?
Yeah. Don't get me raked in.
You know, seriously, though, let me ask you a serious question about that. Have you ever considered doing some instructional videos?
Yes, but you know that was my trade in the film industry, and I have trouble nowadays keeping moving my projects through without having the handicap of having to, you know, shoot videos and that of it. I know Dave Platt has become independently wealthy by producing, but I don't see him coming out with any outstanding models anymore. So
yeah.
Well, I mean, he's still building, but...
Sure. Well, you know, that's just something I was thinking about that today, actually, after we spoke. And if you ever decide to do that, I think it would be well accepted by the scale community.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's a good way of passing on, you know...
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had a question about your Cub from Top Gun last year. Are you going to be bringing it back to Top Gun this next year?
At this stage, it doesn't look like that I can have it finished. I have started. I know what's required to fix it, but it's been the same for the last 5 years that my own projects get pushed to the back burner, you know.
Yeah.
And I had people, chasing me to get their projects done. In fact, I've got some projects here that I just don't seem to be moving ahead for people. So that's my my handicap for my own stuff. In fact, you know, I have always tried to get out and do some flying. This year, I haven't even gone to the flying field and flown. That's how busy I've been. So,
wow. Maybe you need an apprentice in your shop. What does it pay?
It doesn't pay. You shouldn't ask that question. It's like a volunteer.
Oh, I got you. Well, you know, I keep trying to lure my friends and people on the site when they come through Birmingham to stop and see me, and I always take a picture of them sanding on something in my shop.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of visitors, but I never get them to do any work.
Well,
it's just like their eyes are like a glow looking at the stuff, and it's nice to have their visit and have their socialize with them. But another thing is, I think I'm too fussy. No one is good enough for me.
I understand. Yeah. Well, hey, a couple more quick questions for you. This is from let's see, who is this from? This is from Christian in Canada. He wants to know which one of your models is your favorite that you've built.
The one that I'm most proud of, I think, is the one that was best to show it at Toledo last year, was that F-16 was in aggressive color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
That is my my current favorite. The most outstanding model that I think I ever built was Waco UPF-7, which was all scale construction, which is now owned by Rick Boyer. If anyone knows that name, he's a competitor at Top Gun as well, but he's a bit of a collector, so he bought it off me.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some pictures of that airplane on Facebook, and I can see why it's your favorite.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
It had the most heart in it, I can tell you.
Yeah. Let's see. Man, the questions just keep coming in on the chat and on email, so we're going to keep you here a few more minutes before I let you slip away. But let's see. This is from an anonymous person in the chat room that wants to know, if your airplane comes out tail heavy, what is the best way to add weight to the nose if the airplane's already finished?
The best answer is to not get there.
Yeah.
And what I'm very careful to do is to keep checking through the process. Before you do your installation, and generally, like I had this problem with the T-33 for a number of reasons, but what I was able to do was have huge batteries, and these were lithium ions, I think I used, but I was able to put them right up in the nose. Section, the nose cone, I guess you call it.
Mm-hmm.
I made removable on that, so I can take it off. So these the live polys that I had in there, I can actually take the nose cone off to charge the batteries.
Yeah.
But that if you can get into a position, particularly with a short coupled, like a World War One airplane, where there's no other way, but you just have to put a ton of lead in the nose.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I don't have this problem with the GB.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Hey, we got another question from Phil in Australia. We get them from all over the world, man. You are international tonight, Graham.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right. What's Graham's view on four-stroke glow versus gas for competitive work? So many great scale models seem spoiled by poor scale sound from big gas motors.
Well, I probably have a buddy here because I have never had a gas engine.
Yeah.
I'm pretty old school as far as combustion engines go, because I like the sound of four strokes, and the more cylinders you can have, the better. When I was doing competition with combustion engines, there really wasn't large combustion engines available. And now I've noticed out of Italy, there's some very large opposed twin with a decent capacity for larger scale airplanes. And also, I think the Moki out of Germany also have a twin opposed now. But the things I don't like about gas is, yes, I don't believe they sound scale. I find they have a lot of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my position.
Well, I got you. You know, I think most long-term competitors tend to feel the same way you do about, you know, wanting to use large glow motors if possible. And there's a lot of, I don't want to get into a glow versus gas thing here. There's a good application for all of them. Obviously, and or they wouldn't sell. But there's some really nice large glow engines out there right now. I mean, some really nice ones.
Yeah, if you've got gas, like when you say gas, it really is not the right term to use, because what we're talking about when people say gas, you're talking about a large capacity two-stroke.
Right.
Engines that run on gas, but now there are a lot of gasoline fueled engines that are four strokes.
That's right.
And like these big Mokis, we had a Moki 250 in the Corsair that I built, and there's a Moki 250 four stroke going in the GB, and they're on gas, but you wouldn't call them gases, you know. So
right.
I think the correct terminology to use is multi-cylinder four-strokes are definitely the most scale-sounding combustion engines.
Yeah. Well, that's super. Graham, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. It's always great to have you here, someone with your knowledge and answer the questions and just, you know, heck, I've picked up two or three things just listening to you tonight. So it's somewhat selfish on my part to get you here too. So I enjoy picking your brain, so to speak. But look, you know, we want to have you back again sometime in the near future. And, one of the things that I think that we have not touched on that I think we could devote a whole show to is preparing documentation for a competition airplane.
Right.
And if you're willing at some point in the future, we'd love for you to come back and talk about that.
Yeah, that sounds something I could throw some light on, maybe.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, obviously you're doing something right.
Right. I kind of like to apologize. I just hope whatever. It's kind of difficult to give answers.
Sure.
In a concise way. You really, a lot of the questions that are asked, you almost need to do a full seminar on and have illustrations and all that. So I just hope that the listeners do gather the points that I try to make in these sessions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's well received and well appreciated, and always get great feedback on it. So we'd love to have you on the show. You're a lot of fun. You enjoy the show like we do, and that's what it's all about. You know, so
it's always a bit of fun.
That's right. That's right. Well, look, I'm going to let you get back to what you were doing, and thanks so much for taking some time for us tonight. And one of the guys wrote in chat, he said, seminar, where and when?
Yeah, right.
See, there you go, Graham. You can go on the road speaking. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Powell. Look, we'll be talking to you soon. And thanks again for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And you take care. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about what you're up to here in the near future.
Okay, Mike, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, Graham. Bye-bye.
Okay, yeah, bye-bye.
All right, folks, that was Graham Mears. What a nice guy. He's always so helpful and pleasant and really enjoys the hobby. Man, I hate to admit it, but we had to bump our buddy Ron Berg tonight. Ron, I'm sorry. I apologize, but Graham's interview and the questions went over, so we'll get you on next week, though, so I appreciate you being patient with us on that. Just a couple of quick things to wrap up before we call it a night. First of all, thanks to everyone for listening. Man, you know, great questions coming out of the chat room, and thanks for the caller tonight. We really appreciate you taking the time to ask your questions and participate in the show. That's why we're here. So, good deal. A couple of quick things, site news. Like I mentioned last week, we're doing fourth quarter site supporter renewals. They're going out this month. They should all be out by the end of the month for the fourth quarter. Also, be sure and if you haven't downloaded them yet, grab a copy of Chad Veach's Hellcat plans in the site supporter download forum. They're free to all site supporters. And currently, we have a Spitfire Mark 8 walk around up. This next month, I believe we're going to have a J3C Cub, which will be a 2-CD set for you to download, if I can get that ready in time. But so we got, and then we've got several other ones. I got a new one today from Danny, as a matter of fact, another Spitfire. So we got a lot of great stuff for you to download over the next few months. Real quickly, events. Best of the West Jet Rally, September 29th through October 2nd in Button Willow, California. Scale Masters Championships, October 6th through the 9th in Fresno, California. Sodbusters Fall Warbird Fly-In, September 30th through October 1st in Camden, South Carolina. And the Rally of Eagles, October 7th through the 9th at Mac Hodges Place in Andersonville, Georgia. We would love for all of you to come if you can. So if you can attend that fly-in, that's going to be a great fly-in. The weather's going to be perfect. This month's recommended site of the week is a unique site I found called Don Color, and it's basically a site that tries to document the military colors of all the different countries. They're not all there yet, but he's put a big dent into it. All this information will be available to you shortly in the RC Scale Builder Show post for this week and for this show. So be sure and check that out shortly. Also, you'll have a link to download the podcast if you have not listened to it. Once again, guys, thanks for listening tonight. We really appreciate it. Matt, do you have anything to add tonight before we wrap up?
Yeah, I sure do, Mike, but I can't say it here.
You've been saying it in the chat, in our private chat.
If I had a bleep button right now, I'd need it. That's all I can say. But the good news is I have a phone number in hand, and I'm ready to call it right after the show, Mike.
There you go. Well, deal. Yeah, we've been having fun with communication companies the last week or so.
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started. My wife came in and she said, I don't mean to ruin your day, but I just got this from, it's going to be a fun night around here.
Yeah, so, well, there you go.
Yeah,
you
know. I'm ready to have fun.
Well, good deal. Wasn't that a great show?
That was a great show. That was a wonderful show.
He's also always so informative, and I want to thank all the guys listening in the chat room, Christian, Helen Griffin, Rob, Phil, Danny, Mike Chilson. Oh wait, that's me. thanks guys for listening tonight, and everyone else who's not listening or not in the chat room, thanks for listening. We really appreciate your support. And next week,
yeah, what do you have coming up next week?
Man, we have, it's going to be the SmackDown of the RCSB show.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's Senior versus Junior next year.
That's right. We're going to have, it's not 100% yet, but we're trying to get Nick Zeroli Senior.
Well, you know, let me just say, if it's not 100% yet, one of them is clearly a pussy.
Oh.
If they don't come on. I'm just going to throw that out there. I mean, come on, there's something going on there.
Well, you know,
can't hold up to the challenge. Can't hold up to the challenge. That's all I can say.
So, oh man, I tell you what, we don't need to get you fired up.
No, don't get me fired up.
But it'll be a great show.
I might need to retract that comment.
Yeah, you may want to go back and edit that out for the podcast.
But, hey, I got to call Bob and tell him he's off. He's not the only one that's been bumped tonight. Ron has been bumped tonight.
Yeah, sorry. And also, we're sorry to Bob Violet for,
bumping. We ran out of time.
This is like the third week we've had to bump Bob Violet.
One of these days we'll get him on the show. I wish he'd come on the show. That'd be great fun. But all right.
That is going to wrap it up.
So now that I've insulted Nick and Nick Senior, we'll just see what happens. I hope they both come on, and I think it's going to be a terrific show if they do, because you know, guys are really into their plans. I mean, obviously that is when you think of giant scale models. I mean, you can't think of giant scale modeling without thinking of the Zerolis. I mean, they have been such a huge part of this hobby. So to have them both on in one night, Mike, I'm telling you, you might be biting off more than you can chew.
Well, you know, I don't doubt that. I was hanging around with them up in Toledo talking to them about it, and you know, they're all for it. And of course, you know, they're already talking smack.
I can imagine.
I can imagine what it would be like. But
you know, for Christmas, I really hope that for Christmas we can have a Merry Christmas special on the RC Scale Builder Show and have everybody on. Have Dave Platt and Dino on, and Frank Tiano, and just all of the your big guests. I think we could have them on in one night.
Yeah, maybe get them all to sing.
Sing and then read, you know, the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas or something. We'll figure it out, but
you know, you're just not right on so many levels.
They can all sing Christmas carols, and it'd be great fun.
Great
fun.
Hey, did you see that video I sent over to you that Ding sent me?
I did. Did you see the picture I sent you tonight?
Yes, I did. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, I figured you like that.
Dino sent a little video he took with his phone.
Should we play it here? Maybe we can play it here.
Play it.
See
if you can pick it. I'll talk while you're getting ready. But he basically sent recorded a video at Warbirds over the Rockies.
Here we go.
Hi, I'm C.E. Bud Anderson, World War II Triple Ace. And I'm here to tell you, nothing flies like a Meister.
Well, we could hear it. C.E. Bud Anderson, nothing flies like a Meister. Of course, Colonel Anderson, as he says in the video there, a Triple Ace from World War II.
That's right.
The pilot of Old Crow. And
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think
Dino runs with all the big guys. That's all
he does. You know, I'm going to start calling him the name dropper.
I know. First Snooki, now this.
Let me tell you. Now, not only that, he had the audacity to text some people. I'm not going to say who, and tell them that he was having breakfast with Bud.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So. We're going to have a word with him. But and then turns around and hangs out with Buck Rogers.
How cool is that, huh?
You
what
know,
a guy.
From Flatbait.
Right.
So,
what a guy. Hey. It's good to be Dino. That's all I'm going to say.
That's right, man. It's good to be Dino.
Yeah. He needs his own Jersey Shore. That's all I can say. He's a good guy.
I think Dino's through with Jersey Shore for a while.
I think he's through with it. Every time he goes up there, something bad happens.
Stay
down in Florida, Dino. Take our advice. Stay in Florida.
That's right.
Guys, move to the south.
Yeah. We're going to wrap it up.
Sorry, Ron, I tried. What can I say? I tried getting him on, but maybe next time. All right.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up another episode, guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week with another great interview and more information about what's happening in RC Scale. Thanks for listening, and be sure and stay tuned for more fantastic programming here on Warbird Radio. And until next time, measure twice and cut once. Good night.